Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
In this AudioCast 33, I interview a Catholic gay young man. Is it possible? You'll find out if you...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week's guest, I just codenamed him the letter J, simply because I want to help keep him anonymous. And also because in this day and age, if people find out a little bit more about a private citizen, they sometimes think that they can take advantage of that information. And the topic today is a little sensitive, to be very honest with you. It's about a young man who considers himself, in this order, a Catholic, gay, young man. And he's kind of all of that. And this deep dish discussion helped me to understand that we cannot paint with broad brushstrokes everything about the Catholic Church when it comes to people of same-sex attraction, the homosexual community, the LGBTQI community, whatever it is that they want to ascribe their own identity. I firmly believe that your identity is most importantly rooted in Christ, and that's exactly what my guest, again, codenamed Jay, is going to be telling us all about in this deep dish discussion. So enjoy it, and hopefully we can gain a perspective and realize that even though we all have our own form of brokenness, but Catholic, being a believer, that should be the way people identify us above anything else. We'll be back with more Shoot the Shiitake and a deep dish discussion with my guest, the letter J. And this episode is brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, where they have a passion for the pilgrimage experience, but also compassion for the pilgrim, him or herself. And I know this personally because of the care that they take for every one of the pilgrims that I've taken with Select International, catering to all of my particular desires to make sure that my pilgrimages are not in any way a cookie cut, but unique experiences that combine faith, culture, food, friendship, and a lot of fun. You can learn more about my 2019 trips at selectinternationaltours.com or visit me at fatherleofeeds.com/travel. Welcome back for a deep dish discussion here on Shoot the Shiitake. I'm Father Leo, and I've got a very special guest. He was introduced to me from a priest who listens to the show, and he said that I've got a unique story for you. I have with me, his name is Jay. He describes himself as a young, gay, Catholic man. And so let's get some qualifiers. Young meaning you are about
Under 30.
Under 30, okay. And you do look young, so compliments
to
you.
Thank you.
What are you doing, and what's your secret, and can I have some of that? All right. The second thing is you call yourself a Catholic. So describe what a Catholic means to you.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I ask this, you know, when I do my marriage preparations. Like, if you saw, are you a practicing Catholic?
I am, yes.
So tell me what that means.
I go to Mass every Sunday. I'm a member of a parish. You know, I sing in the choir even.
Okay. Oh, so you're not like just sitting back in the back pew. You're actually,
no,
you actually have a voice.
I do.
Okay. And you also qualified yourself as gay.
Yes.
And so that means you're part of the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's, before we get into the divisiveness of it all, because I know there'll be a lot of people who will ask, well, doesn't he know what the Bible says about gay people? And your initial response would be?
Well, yeah.
Okay, And yet you still identify as Catholic.
Yes.
Let me ask this first. Gay first or Catholic first?
Catholic first, for sure.
Catholic first, for sure. This is interesting. I love this so far. Now, let's go through some backstory. You have been practicing your entire life.
Yes.
So your mom and dad raised you right. You went to church every Sunday.
Many as I can remember, yeah.
Did you ever miss any?
I'm sure there have been a few here and there.
Okay. But it's not what you do as a Catholic
family.
No,
not at all. Not at all. And strong, strong guilt if I don't go.
Oh, so you must be Irish.
Believe it or not at all.
Or Filipino.
Well, my mother always jokes that Jewish mothers invented guilt, but Catholic mothers perfected it.
That's the darndest truth, no doubt. By the way, what we're doing right now is we just had a little appetizer. I offered to him a little melon gazpacho with some Maryland crab lump meat. How did that taste for you, by the way?
Out of this world.
You liked it?
Fantastic.
You're not lying to a priest, are you? Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
You're such a liar. Because you know a lot of priests.
I do,
You've had a lot of associations from campus ministers and just even your pastors.
Yep.
Do they know about your
orientation
and lifestyle? Or
yes.
Okay, and those are two different things, though, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get into it all as we're talking here on Shoot the Shiitake. I guess one of the big questions is, how did you come to identify as how you identified yourself today?
It was a long journey.
Okay, man, this is only it's an hour show.
Yeah,
all right?
So I'll try and
keep
it. No, I'm
kidding with you. If this is good, I'll have you back on and more food.
Fantastic.
But let's go about that long journey.
You know, we'll start with the Catholic piece. Since it was earlier, and also just because it's the kind of the focal point of my identity.
Yeah.
Raised Catholic, going to Mass every Sunday. We were very involved with the parish. You know, my dad's very engaged with the Knights of Columbus. I joined as soon as I turned 18, as early as I could.
Okay.
Because I had such a good example. I happened to...
You just like the hat?
I love the hat. Okay. It's too bad that they got rid of it. Now they have a little beret.
Yeah, the beret. That's kind of, you know, makes you look a little like Jean-Claude Van Damme-ish, but that's okay. Yeah. I just dated myself, but keep going.
And so I really started to come into my faith in high school. I went to an all-boys Catholic school.
Okay.
And loved it. Not because I was around boys all the time, but just because I loved...
I wasn't even thinking that. Come on, Jay, think better of me.
But it was good to be in
but
such a
But did you know
healthy...
when you were in...
I didn't.
That you were attracted?
In hindsight, yes, because the possibility that I might be gay wasn't really an option. And not because it was like, you must not be gay. It was just, well, no, of course not. You're not gay.
Yeah.
So the thought never crossed my mind until I was well into college.
Okay.
But so I came into my faith really, started to when I was in high school. I was a freshman when John Paul II died.
Oh, gosh.
And so my religion teacher, who had spent years in seminary, left shortly before he would have been ordained to the diaconate.
Okay.
And is now married and has children and everything. As soon as JP2 passed, he started geeking out about the whole interregnum and the conclave process.
Holy cow.
And
you
just
broke out some Latin.
Yes, and I just ate it up.
Okay, so you were
I thought it was so cool.
You're a Catholic geek.
Complete. As I push up my glasses.
Yeah, as you push up. And those are nice glasses, by the way, okay? But you love the Catholic culture. You were raised in it, which is kind of interesting because most people hate it. Like
which
young
is
men
unfortunate.
Hate
yeah.
it. Like all of your friends weren't geeking out about that crap.
Most of the guys I was
as
in class
they would
with,
climb
no.
It,
yeah.
Describe it.
Right.
Not that
right.
I would ever call it that because, oh my gosh, I live in it. You know, I would never. Sometimes you feel that way some days, but you geeked out about it. You liked it. And then when did the conflict or the drama occur?
Well, the drama didn't happen for years,
actually.
I went through, again, that was freshman year, and I started to get kind of plugged in with our high school youth group at my parish.
Mm-hmm. And it was worth it?
And it was worth it. I loved it. We went to NCYC, the National Catholic Youth Conference.
Okay.
We had a local version here in the off year, since that's every other year. And,
uh-huh.
You know, all that fun stuff.
Sure.
And I loved it, and it was great doing all the, you know, masses in the stadium and praise and worship. And I thought it was fantastic.
And it kept you Catholic.
It kept me Catholic.
And then?
And then I go off to college.
Okay.
And I was lucky to...
Did you leave the family home when you went off to college?
Yes.
Okay, so you were dorming.
Yep. From day one, I was dorming, living on campus. And from my first weekend, I sought out the campus ministry because, well, Sunday rolls around, I need to go to Mass.
Nice. So you were doing everything that a Catholic mom and dad
loved
wanted you to do.
My parents were so happy.
Well, I mean, if I were your dad, I'd be pretty stinking happy too. Keep going.
That was my first exposure to our campus ministry.
Yep.
Fast forward a few years, I am well entrenched in the campus ministry. I went to a state university.
Did someone approach you and say, you should really consider priesthood?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved the community. It took a little while for me to get plugged in because I was a shy, apprehensive freshman. Being an engineer, I'm pretty introverted. So
okay, just kind so of putting Jay myself just broke out, it out there. Is, he is an engineer.
Yep.
He is. This kind of breaks a lot of stereotypes for a lot of people already. That,
sure.
That gay people aren't going to their church and they're not practicing their faith and they're not engineers. They are fashion designers.
Right. Artsy parsy fashion designers. I mean, on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, that's not you.
That's not all of us.
That's not all of you.
No.
Okay. Keep going.
So fast forward to, I guess, my senior year. Well, my fourth year. I ended up taking 5 years.
Okay.
And so here's part of why. So I'm a terrible student. With the engineering
that
track.
That surprises me. Because you're really articulate.
Thank you.
You could at least BS your professors.
I'm a terrible study. I really am.
Okay.
And I'm an awful, awful test taker.
Okay.
And so the way that the engineering track was set up, if you have to retake even one class, you automatically end up getting forced into an extra semester.
Into a five-year program.
Yep. Or at least into a 4.5.
Okay.
And so I was planning on 4.5 already. Come senior year, I'm very involved with our campus ministry. It's a large program. We just happen to have a lot of Catholics at this school.
Yes.
You know, I'm on the retreat team. I'm the Grand Knight of our Knights of Columbus Council.
You are doing everything.
I'm doing everything. This was my whole social life.
Sure.
And it was great, and I loved it. And most of my friends now are the people that I met while I was doing that.
Sure.
I was also struggling through engineering school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved with the university men's chorus, which was a blast. We had so much fun doing that too.
Sure. Was this like a glee club or was this an a cappella group?
It was
were
more
you like
glee
Andy
club.
Bernard of The Office?
No. Oh my goodness, no.
Okay, all right.
We had plenty of those groups on campus.
And you were not that.
I was not in one of them. No, this was much more, highfalutin kind of choral thing. We had sort of three tiers of
choir. And you're probably a tenor
I was actually
one.
The lowest, tenor two.
You were tenor two, so
and
that's
believe
a
higher. Or not, yeah, there are some guys that could sing much higher than me.
Okay.
And I was happy to leave them up there.
Okay. And so you were in this choral group, and then is that kind of, I mean, obviously.
Well, that was sort of where it began.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it wasn't, the group that I was in wasn't all of the vocal performance students. There were some of them because we had a big music school as well.
Mm-hmm.
This was mostly like engineers. You had your education majors. You had artists. You had all kinds of people.
Sure.
And this was just like guys who liked to sing for fun. We would get together 3 times a week for an hour. We got a credit out of it.
Okay.
And then we would do a concert 2 or 3 times a year. Had a blast. Naturally, something like that that's all men is going to draw a larger percentage of gay young men.
Sure. Especially since it is an artistic gift.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're not going to join the theater club and not think you're going to run into someone who's homosexual.
There's a whole bunch of
and
us there.
And by the way, when you hear homosexual, does that kind of... Someone said that's just too clinical. I mean, I just kind of want to figure out. And I want to be respectful. But at the same time, I want to be technical as well.
For me, I don't have... I don't really take much issue with the different
But there are
terminology.
People who do.
Some people seem to.
Yeah, so you're not there.
Yeah, homosexual certainly is a bit more clinical, but since it doesn't really have any kind of, at least for me, it doesn't have a derogatory connotation.
Yeah, and gay could certainly have it.
Gay certainly could. I mean, people use it as a synonym for stupid.
Sure.
In casual conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Or just irrelevant.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, that's a very good point. Something for me, and again, by the way, as you're hearing my interview with Jay, he described himself as a young gay Catholic man, and we're going to get right to the point of the story, but I think it's important to hear the backstory as well. I want to make sure that you know, Jay, and my listeners know, that this conversation isn't a form of condoning anything. It's above my pay grade to give a thumbs up to anything. All right? I mean, it really is. Now, I can make judgments on critique, but I'm trying to avoid the moral truths of right and wrong, sinful and, good. Because we know that it's a messy world out there.
Oh,
and just hearing your story puts you in a new category, in a new light for me and for many people. And so I'm trying to be compassionate, but at the same time, respect the fact that I may disagree with you.
Right.
And this is okay because I'm still going to feed you.
Thank God. Thank God. But you can't eat all that food by yourself.
No, I can't eat all that. Well, I could. Do not judge me, okay?
That I might judge you for.
And I would deserve that. So you're in a choral group, and there are other gay men, other same-sex attracted individuals, and What happens?
So I'm in this group for a couple of years. I joined, I think, as a, was either a sophomore or a junior.
Okay.
And, you know, so I was very involved with this group. I got to know a bunch of the guys. And then we get to my senior year, my fourth year out of five in school.
Okay.
And I realize about midway through the fall that, like, I'm having these weird, complicated feelings for this one guy in the choir.
Sure.
And I didn't know what the heck that was.
Come on. Seriously? I mean, you've had the internet that time.
Well, yes, I've had the internet for that time.
I mean, but when you were on the internet, mm-hmm. were there sites that you go to that were like gay sites?
Yeah.
Okay, so you knew about gay sites. You knew about that.
Right.
But you weren't necessarily...
It didn't click.
It didn't register
until these feelings bubbled up for this random acquaintance.
Was it more like emotional? Because look, I love mm-hmm. my friends at seminary.
Right.
And you know, I missed them and I cried. Don't
sure,
judge me. You
course.
Know, when we left and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But not but just, you know, I teared up and such like that. Of course you have to give the guy the guy hug where you just basically thump him on the back.
You know, yeah, bro, I'm going to miss you.
See ya, bro. Yeah. All right, so you're feeling feelings.
Yeah.
Didn't register, and then what happened?
Well, that was when it started to register. It was like, oh my God, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Because it was, yeah, I've had
Were
a lot
scared?
Of-
Were you scared?
I was frightened. I was so scared.
Of what?
The unknown. I had no idea what was going on. This was the first time that I had actually experienced like romantic feelings for another guy.
Did you have romantic feelings for a girl?
Yes.
Did you date a girl in high school?
I dated a couple of girls in high school.
Okay. And this sounds horrible, but did you feel for them?
I did.
A romantic?
I did.
And even physical, sensual, sexual attraction?
Yes.
I mean, it's high school for God's sake, so we know what they're doing.
Right.
Not all, but
sure,
we
sure.
also know, we just have to watch the news, you know?
Oh, yeah,
young girls getting
happens.
Pregnant, I mean, teachers
right.
getting involved in high school
right.
students. So, all right, it happens. And
but it certainly diminished over time.
It diminished.
In the many years between like the end, well, many.
Would this be considered like a latent experience of homosexuality, or is it just a late acceptance? Because, I mean, did you, if you look back, were you like, yeah, I was always kind of gay? Or
yes.
I was always, okay. So this kind of a late acceptance,
mm-hmm.
perhaps?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that you could probably say that my sexuality was misdirected in some way earlier in my earlier years.
The whole idea of chastity up to that point, I mean, you were following church's teachings, you were
right.
geeking out on church
right.
tradition, and that's a big thing. A lot of people mm-hmm. can get caught up in the church's lifestyle, but
yes.
not necessarily ascribe to what we believe.
The lace and the French cuffs and everything.
Oh, you're talking yeah. about formal fancy priests that you probably know some for. Okay, that
well,
was just
know,
a little bit
just,
of a
yeah,
giveaway.
You can probably imagine that the gay Catholic in the room loves all of the lace and the tradition and the...
Wow, you're yeah. a pretty perceptive young man. You're because you just touched on something mm-hmm. that a lot of people in the church are almost afraid to talk about, you know, homosexuality in the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens.
Right.
Similar to how if you are involved in an all-male choral group, there's going to be a percentage that are there, not for malicious reasons.
No.
But because that's just where they fit and belong.
Right, that's just the natural draw.
So
Absolutely.
A lot of our listeners may be rather offended by the fact that I said that there probably are a number of clergy who are homosexual.
Sure.
Or at least they deal with or try to manage it best
right.
they can, their same-sex
right.
attractions. So, keep going here. You felt this for this one guy, and I'm just going to name him X.
Sure, we'll call him X.
Yep.
And I was so confused and scared, and because remember, again, I'm on the retreat team. I'm
Did
the
he
grand
do something
knight.
To make you want
no.
to be attracted to him? So
no,
he's just
nothing
a dude.
At all. He's just there.
Uh-huh.
He's just there, and I'm like, oh my God, I
want to sit
I
next
like
to
this
him.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And were you friends, or was he just a... Long distance.
We were friends-ish. We were more acquaintances, but
okay.
you know, the whole group is spending 3 hours a week together, and so.
And then what happens? When did this all kind of bubble up into a reality to the point where you now call yourself a young gay Catholic man?
It took another year and a half. I really, really wrestled with it. In my life,
did you talk to anybody about it?
I did.
Like
I
who?
Did. So actually, a fair few.
Were priests involved in that
priests
conversation?
Priests were involved.
Okay, so spiritual
direction?
So
I
direction?
Was, at the time, I was in spiritual direction with a priest who's a part of a religious order.
Okay.
We were, most of the time when a young college-age man is going through spiritual direction, we're talking about vocational discernment.
Absolutely.
We're talking about the religious life, priesthood, marriage, obviously with a bit of a tilt toward priesthood. And so it was maybe a month and a half after I think that I acknowledged that these feelings were there,
yep.
That I brought it up with him. Now, he wasn't the first person I told.
Brought it up with who?
With the priest.
Okay.
But the first person I kind of came out to that I was questioning my orientation was a woman who's the administrative assistant at the campus ministry.
Got it.
She was kind of like everyone's mom.
That's kind of weird.
Mom away from mom.
Okay.
Yeah. She has this way about her of just being very warm and welcoming and accepting.
As moms are.
As moms are. But since she's not your mom, you don't have to worry about, you know,
like
any
hurting
kind of
her.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. It's not like, oh, mom, I totally screwed
up. Which we are going to be talking
about. I failed
all
these classes.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, well, you know, wagging your finger. And
yep. So there was a lack of judgment.
Right.
That allowed you to kind of claim or admit and acknowledge something in you.
Right.
So what happened? I mean, to be honest with you, I hate to sound like a big weirdo, but did you ever talk to the guy, Mr. X?
No.
So he never knew anything about you.
He never knew.
So you were like, for lack of a better term, crushing on this dude.
Hardcore.
Hardcore crush on this dude. And in a way, if this was a straight relationship, this would be a movie and everybody would pay lots of money to see it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And then what was the point where you just simply had to say, because from what I gather, coming out is a big deal.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you from the point that you recognize this to the point of coming out, knowing that this is very different from many other people?
Absolutely. Everyone's quote-unquote coming out story
is very, very different. What about for you?
So for me, it took a solid year and a half.
Okay.
And so I had to get through that semester where my whole world was suddenly rocked. Not by this guy, but just by this realization that, oh my God, I'm not who I thought that I was. And so, okay, well, I think maybe I might be gay, but I'm super involved with the church. And how does that work?
And that conflict of interest led to you making some major decisions, and we're going to find out when we come back from a little bit break what happens with Jay's coming out experience. Again, there's not a condoning, but there's also not a condemnation as well. This is just his experience. I'm willing to listen because I'm sure that there are people in my congregations who have struggled with something similarly, and all I'm doing is learning from a sincere person who calls himself first Catholic, right?
Yes.
Then gay.
Yep.
And then a young man, at least for a few more years.
At least for a few more years.
And then when we come back, we're going to find out what you did. Did you go to confession or did you go to a gay bar? When we return with more Shoot the Shiitake here with me, Father Leo. Thank you to all of our premium subscribers, those who donate $10 or more each month. They receive special premium content delivered to their inbox each week. And this week, we're going to have a little bit more of a discussion and a reflection on pastoral care for people who experience same-sex attraction, or they may feel like they are not part of the Catholic Church because they identify as gay. So if you want to get this information, we just encourage you to be a support to our movement because we believe, as you're hearing, conversations lead to conversion. And that's exactly what we hope to do at ShootTheShiitake.com is where you can become more involved, encouraging people to subscribe and to support us, and most importantly, share the good news that the church is willing to listen if you're willing to talk. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for the second part of the Deep Dish discussion. In full disclosure, I'll just have to be honest with you, I didn't want to just leave a cliffhanger as to what he did when he discovered he was gay. It was because the pasta was ready. I made a rigatoni with a little summer sausage, some sweet summer corn, as well as some arugula, and a little bit of cream. Now he's looking at me because it was a little bit more than a little bit.
It was a little more than a little bit.
But it was. It's still light.
It was very warranted.
And did it taste okay?
Oh yeah, it was fantastic.
Okay, I appreciate this, and I want to also just kind of sum up. A lot of people would be listening to this show and they think, I can't believe that you are kind of having a good time, And why wouldn't I have a good time? I might not agree with everything that's going on here, but my objective is to listen to a man's experience of him kind of discovering he's gay, coming out, and that's where I want to kind of take off.
Sure.
You, Jay, describing yourself as a young gay, excuse me, as a Catholic gay young man, and in that order,
mm-hmm.
discover you're gay, and what happens next? I mean, did you kind of experiment? Did you cry? Did you go to the priest and get on your knees and say, take this away? Did you go to a therapy to try to correct the thoughts? Tell me about that.
No, yes, yes.
Okay, come on.
Yes,
you know
in
what
that
I
order.
Mean. Go for it, you big jerk. Yes, I called you a jerk.
So remember, so for context, I was really involved with the Catholic Campus Ministry at the time. You know, I'm on the retreat team. I'm the Grand Knight. You know, I'm singing in the choir, both with a choral group on campus and also with the choir at Mass.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I ever would have had it in me to just kind of go out and experiment.
Okay.
There were plenty of gay clubs in the area that I could have gone to, and
that didn't ring your bell.
It wasn't my scene. Nightclubs have never been my scene anyway.
Yeah.
And so for me, still kind of at the time struggling with just trying to name what this was.
But even then, mm-hmm. You were a young man. You had had the internet. You had mm-hmm. dated some girls before, and I'm yeah. not going to ask you active with the girlfriends,
sure.
but at the same time, it would be kind of silly if we didn't think that you didn't look at the internet. And what
right.
did you go to? Was it gay sites or was it straight sites? I mean,
some of both.
Okay, so you yeah. were, and yet you didn't know.
That you probably should have been the warning sign in hindsight,
kind of.
Among many other warning signs.
But we have to know that everyone's sexual development is different,
right.
and at least an understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
You are just kind of exploring. And
yeah.
can I ask you, and many people will probably be thinking this, right now, are you still exploring, or are you just determined that you are gay?
I'm gay.
Okay, so that's just like, we're done.
Yep, we're done. It's there. I'm very settled in that fact.
You're settled in your gayness.
Yeah.
And you are still practicing your Catholic faith.
Yes.
When you came out,
mm-hmm.
what did your parents, do your parents even know?
They do.
Because they might be listening to the show.
Right. They probably will.
Will they be saying, oh, I'm so proud of him. He's doing such a great job.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. This is interesting.
Yeah.
And was that something you'd expect?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
they,
I'd be surprised if they were disappointed that I came to do this show.
Tell me, how did
yeah.
you do this?
So I realized that I was having these feelings for this guy.
X.
X.
The singer.
We'll call him X the singer. I just didn't know what to do with myself. I felt very lost. I was at the same time also overly involved at campus ministry to the point that my academics were suffering a little bit. But then having this realization, I tanked. I failed a couple of classes that semester. I had to go into winter break ready to tell my mom and my dad, like, I failed a couple of classes and I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue engineering next semester. So that was very tough.
Mm-hmm.
That was very tough. Everything sort of came crashing down all at once.
And then?
And then I met with the academic dean of the engineering school and I told him, without going into too much detail, I said that, you know, I've been struggling with academics. It's just, you know, I don't need to tell you that engineering school is hard. And I've also been struggling with depression because that was really what sort
of came
out.
That's a different thing, though.
It is. And I won't say not to, and that's not to diminish clinical depression because it was not, you know, I had a diagnosed clinical psychological disorder, but I was experiencing those same feelings of depression because of this conflict that I was going
through.
Got
it. Got it.
What felt like these two impossible sides to reconcile within myself.
Okay.
You know, I'm feeling these feelings that are what most people would call gay.
So you tell your academic director that you're going through this stuff. I mean, was he helpful or she helpful to you?
So what he said was, you know, I can't just let you continue if nothing changes. Clearly something needs to be addressed. And whatever is causing this depression, whatever struggle you might be going through with that, I want you to take the semester off. We'll just put you on hiatus. You don't have to like reapply to school or anything like that. Take the semester off. I want you to, you know, seek professional help. Go see a therapist.
and let's reassess over the summer.
Okay.
And so I did that. I talked with my chaplain at the campus ministry, because he's very involved with the Archdiocese and has a lot of connections. So I thought, well, hey, let's find maybe a Catholic therapist that would be helpful, because
So you came out to the chaplain.
So I told the chaplain, hey, this is what I'm dealing with.
Was it in the context of confession?
No.
Okay, so you didn't.
I just went to see him. I said, "Hey, Father,
you didn't even have any sins to confess.
We all have sins to confess.
But I mean, that wasn't that moment.
Right. I did. Yeah. I wasn't there seeking.
Don't, just so that you know. Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
You're perfect, Father Leo.
In every broken way. And so you talked to him, and this is just you really practicing your faith.
Yeah.
And then, did you feel judged by him?
No.
Did you feel loved by him?
Yes.
This is key for a lot of people, especially people who may be very anti-church, who are gay, who are part of the LGBTQ community. We're not jerks. We're not. And so was he helpful to you?
He was to some degree.
Okay.
So this is, he's kind of a bro. He's a wonderful priest. I have great respect for
him.
Okay. Bit of a bro, you know, very casually. He kind of makes some relatively homophobic jokes here and there sometimes. But it was like, well, he's my chaplain. You know, he is.
You're not going to sue him or anything.
No.
Okay.
Of course not. No, I still love the man dearly.
So he may not be the guy for you to help you with the kind of like those intimate feelings, sorting out needs.
Exactly. He wasn't going to be my counselor. Then? But I said, hey, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what the dean, you know, has asked me to do.
Sure.
Can you put me in contact with anyone that I can talk to?
Let me just fast forward then. You find someone to talk to who's more of a clinician and spiritual at the same time. Were they Catholic?
Yes.
Did they give you a Catholic perspective?
Yes.
And was it helpful to you to kind of sort your feelings out?
It was. It was.
Did they try to change you and say, you know...
No, not at all.
Your feelings aren't such and such?
No.
Okay, and then at what point did you tell your parents?
Since I was a college student and wholly dependent on them financially, I had to tell them pretty early that, hey, I need to go to counseling. At the time, I didn't tell them what exactly I was struggling with beyond just this nebulous idea of depression. I don't think they knew that was what it was.
Because you don't come across in a flamboyant way, and I'm not being prejudgmental, but we just know that there are stereotypes that are stereotypes because to some degree they're true.
Exactly.
You don't look in any way effeminate. You're not acting it in any way.
Right.
I mean, you're an engineer. That's not like a...
It's not a stereotypically gay profession.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're super Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tell them, what was your experience of telling them?
Very nerve-wracking. I just didn't know how they were going to respond. Mm-hmm. Now, I was never afraid that they were just going to disown me and cast me out to the streets.
Ah, heck no.
Which is something that some parents do.
Yeah, I've read
it's
about
awful.
That. I've seen it on the internet.
It's terrible. And so I knew that wasn't going to happen. So I wasn't petrified. It was just that nervousness of like, oh my God, how am I going to, how do I explain this?
Sure.
I can't even explain it yet.
Okay.
I've not... At this point in the timeline, I have not accepted I'm gay.
Okay.
I think maybe I am, but I don't really know. I'm trying to figure some things
out.
Sure. And that was basically what I told them. You know, I said, this was after I had gone to a few counseling sessions at this point, but obviously needed to get that off my chest to my own parents. And I basically said, well, you know, I think I might be gay. Questioning is kind of
that's the truth.
Socially norm.
What did they say?
They said, okay.
Okay, that was
they didn't
really anticlimactic here.
It was like, where's you're gone.
Yeah, well, they hug you? Did you cry? Were you like on the floor?
They were so surprised. I don't think they knew what to do with it.
So shock is a part of it.
Definitely.
So there are some things that I have to say here that one of the things that causes a lot of divisiveness in this particular topic is that it just comes off very strongly and very quickly, and it's too much of a change, too quick.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's hard to just stop a car and go in the other direction.
Right.
And what I'm finding with you right now, and I'm going to talk more about this in the carryout order, but I still have a bunch more questions to ask you, is that you've approached this very systematically, very kind of serenely, and more importantly, patiently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you weren't rushing off to just abandon everything and go to New York and, you know, and become a drag queen or anything like that. You know, that wasn't you anyway.
No.
Okay, so you tell your parents and probably they keep it on the hush-hush, and yet you still continue to question what happens at that point, to the point where you now are calling yourself a Catholic gay young man.
So I continued to struggle with it. I spent the next, we'll say, year or so
wrestling with it.
Even while in college again?
Even while in college.
But you eventually graduate.
I eventually graduated, praise Jesus. Now and forever, amen. I moved forward with academics. I was able to get through the rest of my studies and
I
graduated.
Did you date anybody?
No, and not at the time.
Currently, can I ask you, are you dating another man?
Yes.
Okay, and how long of a relationship has that been?
It's been about a year and a half.
Where did you meet this person?
We met online on Tinder, one of the dating apps.
Which is really surprising to me. I thought that Tinder was a straight app.
Nope.
It's just everything.
Nope. Yeah.
You can find whatever you're looking for.
Pretty much.
On aisle 8. Okay. Okay. So, I'm sorry about that. I just have to bring a little levity to this here. And and are you seeking a type of monogamous relationship?
Absolutely.
So you want to... Why do you break so many stereotypes in a way? And do you
I'm
know
a contrarian.
I mean, no, you're... I don't really know if that's true or not. I think it's because you have deep roots in Catholicism.
I'm trying to be as authentic as I can. Because I don't know what else to do.
And
my faith it's at the core of who I am.
So your faith is that much a part of all of your decisions, including dating another man.
Yeah.
And this is going to, I know people probably are just churning in their seats right now.
I'm sure. Clutching their pearls.
Pearls. Okay. That's pretty gay. I'm sorry to say that. That was the most gay thing you've said all day here. Are you hoping to develop this relationship to the point where it is a legally recognized partnership?
Yes.
Jay, at this point, I kind of want to ask you if you're willing to make another trip and visit with me, or I'll even make a trip out to you and just continue this conversation.
Yeah.
Because heck, if we're going to try to figure it all out in one conversation.
There's so much.
There's so much.
Yeah.
And at this stage of the game, you have just fully accepted your gayness. Your family has accepted it.
Yeah.
How about the church? I mean, do your pastors know about all of this? And
yes, they do.
What do they say to you? What kind of words do they give to you? Do they challenge you? Do they say you really need to live a moral, upright life? I mean, you need to be chaste? Do they say these things?
They have not. That may be in part because they are not my confessors. Confession has always been a difficult thing for me, even pre, you know,
it's perfectly
coming
easy
out
for me too. Just so
I'm sure, you know, with so
I'm
few
perfect.
Sins to confess,
Zachy.
You must only have to go once a year out of obligation.
You're a big jerk. So anyway, so confession is hard.
Confession's hard.
And you have a regular confessor? Or no, you just kind of do whatever's available?
If there's one thing in my faith, in terms of real, like, strong practice that I still struggle with, it's confession.
And is it because you are actively living a gay lifestyle? I mean, hey, what exactly does that mean, by the way?
I was just going to say that's a difficult term to really nail down and hone in on.
In a brief kind of expression, how are you practicing your gayness and your Catholicism?
Ooh.
Like,
question.
then do it quickly, boy. how do you, I mean, you're dating another guy.
Yeah, I'm dating another guy.
So you obviously are in a relationship.
Right.
Do his parents know about him as well?
They do, and about us.
So this is totally out. Are you guys holding hands in public?
Yeah.
So you do all the things that a heterosexual couple would do.
Yeah.
Do you kind of hold back on the
Absolutely.
Other PDA? Why do you do that?
Out of fear.
What do you
mean? It's out of fear, because we have a target on our backs.
But you're holding hands.
Sometimes.
Okay.
It all depends. You know, if we're walking around downtown, it all depends on what block we're on, what neighborhood we're in, what kind of people we're around.
You mentioned this, and I was actually, it's so strange. I was at a park I was showing some guests a park in the area, and there was a gay couple, and they were holding hands and walking, and darned if they didn't walk by a group of school kids who were walking in a single file line, and, you know, they were paired up, boys to boys and girls, and they were all holding hands. And it was just, there was a real shocking kind of moment for me there, so I had to think about that. But you're very comfortable being gay as best as you can, depending on the circumstance. Do you feel like you're living a little bit in the closet if you can't be fully publicly displaying your affection? Because I think PDA, if you're straight, kind of drives me a little crazy too. But
it makes everybody kind of squirm a little bit once it gets to be a bit too intense. It's like, guys, get a room, just kind of calm down. But
okay, do you go to gay bars?
Maybe once a year. Nightclubs were never really my scene.
And so this is like your your friend is your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't like those that scene either?
Not much, no.
So what are you doing? Just going to, like, I don't know.
Just regular bars, restaurants. We both like to eat. So, okay, like, restaurants are perfectly fine, and
then you're welcome.
Thank you.
But as far as your next steps, you're just. I guess I'm just trying to get my mind wrapped around the combination of gay and Catholic. How do you reconcile that, and how would you maybe share with listeners how you reconcile that?
I'm still working on it. That's really my answer.
Do you think that there's going to be a time when you're just going to adhere 100% to the Catholic faith and try to practice chastity?
I don't know.
Okay, so right now you really are in
It's tough. That's a tough question.
You know, because I know that that is pretty much the language that a lot of... Have you heard of the group Courage by any chance?
I'm familiar.
Did you go to anything?
No.
Oh, it wasn't your thing?
Not at all.
Tell me why.
Sure. So I take issue with their pastoral approach.
Which is?
It leans really far to the right. Now, full disclosure, like, politically, I'm kind of a right-leaning moderate. So when I say something leans way too far to the right, I mean, I was raised in a conservative household.
Okay.
But it's I mentioned before that the term homosexual is, or I acknowledge that you said that it's kind of clinical. It's a little antiseptic.
People have said that to me, yeah.
Sure. And I wouldn't say as much for that term, but when Courage uses the kind of language that doesn't even acknowledge the reality of a gay identity.
Sure.
They use the phrasing like same-sex attracted as though it's a condition, like a clinical condition.
And that is not your experience.
That's troubling to me because my experience is not that it's just a condition to be dealt with, you know, like narcolepsy or something. You know, it isn't that. This is me being gay is part of what defines how I relate to other people.
Sure.
You know?
Well, let me ask you
this.
On
a very, very basic level.
Because we have to continue the conversation if you are so willing.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'd be very interested in having your friend accompany you if he was willing to kind of join in. I think that this would be...
Could be very interesting.
For me and for all of our listeners and even for the both of you with each other, because I don't know, do you guys talk about God and your faith to each other?
Yeah, we do.
Do you ever practice your faith? Because are you still practicing your Catholic faith? Mm-hmm. And are you willing to share that with him?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a must.
Oh, God, this is so, so not the stereotype. So I'm just going to kind of ask you this. What can I do as a Catholic priest to be a better priest, a better witness to Jesus Christ, as a better representative of the Catholic Church? With all that we're teaching in regards to this issue, mm-hmm. how can I still show you that God loves you, doesn't condone mm-hmm. the sin, but still loves the sinners? I mean, you know, that's the kind of the classic line of it all.
Right.
What can I do to be a connection to the Catholic faith for you?
Do what you're doing now.
What is that?
Listen and welcome.
I thought you were talking about feeding you.
That too.
Okay.
Food always helps.
Yeah, and I guess, did you feel uncomfortable coming in to have this conversation with me?
Not really.
Really? Why is that?
Largely because I have some very positive and affirming Catholic people in my life, including priests.
And they told you about me, or did you know about me in any way?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have encountered you in the past from other ministries.
Okay.
Okay. Never had a chance to actually chat like this before, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. This is pretty deep stuff right now. And I will be the first to admit, especially when I come back from my carryout order after hearing this deep dish discussion, my thoughts and what I've learned. Because really, Jay, my objective is just to learn about what you particularly are going through, knowing that you are not typical in many ways. You almost celebrate that fact, don't you?
I do.
And I just think that you can also be a great voice to help other people who are gay to hate the church less. In fact,
yes.
I'm going to kind of close with that. I had a meeting with a young man who was part of a bridal party for the bride side of a wedding. Thank God he didn't wear the dress because it would not have been pretty. But he pulled me aside, obviously, at the reception and just basically said, you know, take issues with all of the Catholic things, such and such.
Oh,
and, you know,
boy.
I spent maybe a half an hour talking to him. And I really didn't say much.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, it would have been inappropriate for me to try to get involved at that moment. I mean, they're all doing the stinking chick dance, you know, at the wedding reception. And he said at the end of it that you, Father Leo, make me hate the Catholic Church less.
Wow.
And for me, that was a victory. How can I and how can any other Catholic make you love the Catholic Church and our teachings and our practice and our lifestyle and all that comes with it? How can we make you love it more besides listening?
Besides listening. Help us to see the beauty that's there. That's what's kept me on board.
The beauty.
The beauty of the church. The beauty of our faith and our tradition and the fact that we have this wonderful way of encouraging people to really develop a personal relationship with Christ, but then also to share that with everyone else in the church and everyone else in the world.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jay, a Catholic gay young man who's taught me quite a bit, shared a lot with me, and I do sincerely look forward to trying to organize another time where we can meet again.
Definitely.
Possibly, not just over a meal, but possibly with your friend so that I can learn a little bit about how this all plays itself out in a world that is trying to get its way to heaven. And we just know that there are a lot of detours and pit stops and potholes along the way. And when we come back, I'm going to give to you all my carry-out order. So between now and the next time that we meet again, Jay, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
God bless you. So stick around, folks, for my carryout order here as we continue to shoot the shiitake with me, Father Leo. As part of my ministry, you know that I do a lot of travel, and in May of next year, we're going to be going to the Amalfi Coast, Sicily, as well as the island of Malta. In June, I'm going to be going to Croatia and Medjugorje. And in October, I'm going with Steve Angrisano, famous singer, songwriter, and speaker. We're going to be going to the Holy Land, giving a message, a meal, all with music. And in November, I'll be heading back out on the Danube River cruise from Budapest all the way to Prague and a whole bunch of beautiful cities in between. You can learn more at fatherleofeeds.com/travel or visit selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. Again, that's 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for this deep dish discussion with my special guest, codenamed Jay. And one of the reasons why I wanted to keep him slightly anonymous is simply because I know that his business is his business, and it took great courage for him to come and talk with the priest. And you can hear that I work very hard to try to make all of my guests feel comfortable, even if I will disagree with their lifestyle or their choices. My job is still to make them feel welcome, to be able to share who they are, and in that process, hopefully they can welcome me for who I am. I am a Catholic priest who's trying to reach out to people who may not necessarily feel connected to the Catholic Church. But in this case, this particular guest identified very closely as a Catholic. I mean, to be honest with you, he sounds like a really good Catholic, better than some Catholics that I know who are good Catholics. And so I think one of the things that really struck me in this conversation was just his comfortability to just be honest. And I know that that took a lot of courage, but that also took a lot of time to process this. You know, the Catholic Church's teaching on homosexuality, which I'm actually going to cover a little bit more in the premium content. So for those who donate $10 or more each month, it really doesn't just simply pay for free shows, but specifically Catholic content shows. But more importantly, you got to know it supports what we're trying to do. We're trying to build bridges to communities, to people. And you heard him when I asked the question, what can I do as a priest to be a better priest for you? And he said, just do what you're doing. And that's being willing to listen. And that's not easy for me to do. Listen, folks, I'm a radio host. I'm a TV host. I'm a public speaker. I do more talking than listening. But that's why I'm doing this show, to give everyone a chance to be able to hear a story that might kind of break some stereotypes You see, when we hear about the political side or only the moral aspects of homosexuality, whether it be, again, in politics or in church conversation, we sometimes lump everyone together in just one big ball of mess. And that doesn't mean that there aren't messy people and messy things in that life and lifestyle. There's clearly some issues. I mean, just on a sanitary health level, you know, the idea of multiple sexual partners, that's not healthy. That's not helpful. And unfortunately, part of the gay culture almost promotes it with the parades, the pride parades. You know, I mean, look, if you want to march and just be proud of the fact that, you know, you are just kind of celebrating who you are for who you are, that's one thing. But then when we take things that are supposed to be private, like sexual activity, and we kind of parade in it in the streets, that's just not healthy. And you know what? My guest, codename Jay, he kind of knew that. He kind of knew that, which is one of the reasons why he is not typical. He doesn't frequent that quote-unquote lifestyle. And so when we talk about the homosexual community, we've got to be willing to make distinctions, and that is key. Not everyone who is same-sex attracted or homosexual or identifies as part of the LGBTQ community, not all of them are horrible people. We know that. In the same way that not everyone who is a Catholic are nice people and they're all going to go to heaven. We have to be able to develop a relationship with people individually, and this is definitely a unique case. Again, breaking a lot of the stereotypes. He was a very appropriately masculine individual. Did he have any feminine characteristics? Not that I could really pick up. It's not like I was even paying attention to it necessarily. There is certainly going to be that part of the gay culture that is incredibly flamboyant. But you know what? I knew some of these people, and please don't get me wrong, but they're funny. You know, they just really, they know how to entertain. They have certainly a challenge in their sexual identity, but they also have great blessings. They are very artistic, very dramatic. They're very talented, very theatrical, very performance-oriented people. Not that Jay was anything like that. He was actually quite the gentleman, really. And he was a very pleasant conversationalist. You heard it. And if you wonder why I was so comfortable with him, it's because he's not the only gay person I know. I mean, there are people in my own families and relatives who identify as such, and I still love them. And one of the things that helps us keep a healthy conversation going is that we don't have to shove each other's sexual experiences down each other's throats. So that basically means all that PDA, that public display of affection, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, there's got to be appropriate ways that that is manifested. And I don't know if you picked up on this, but you know, like, you know, it's only been recently where I've seen people of the same sex couples holding hands more publicly. And I don't necessarily them like laying on top of each other or getting extremely inappropriate. I see that more at like the gay pride parade pictures that you see on the news. But like just to see, you know, these beautiful women walking hand in hand, that didn't bother me as much, maybe because, you know, girls are more affectionate, they kind of hold hands with each other. But when two guys, and I mean, I remember walking around in Italy, in a big city in Italy, and these two very macho Italian, quote unquote, studs were holding hands as a gay couple. Kind of interesting. And again, in Baltimore City, there was a gay couple holding hands across the street, and across that street were a bunch of school children all holding hands, and almost like the boys didn't want to hold the girls' hands, they wanted to hold their buddy's hand. So this display of affection, that's something that I think we all need to be thinking about. What is appropriate and what is to be reserved in the privacy of your own home? In the same way, many people argue about the fact that the church or the laws of government shouldn't, you know, infringe on what you do in the privacy in your own bedroom. That might be a very valid argument, but it could also be flipped and say what you do in your bedroom should not be displayed on the street corners or in a parade. So just a thought,
what is public display of affection? Because that's what makes a lot of people comfortable or uncomfortable. The fact is, you might actually have some gay couples in your congregation now, and you might just see them as friends. And they are still friends, but they might actually share a romantic relationship, which is another thing. It's something kind of personal. It's a preference. It might be, as some moral theologians say, a broken preference, you know, because it's not quote unquote natural, in that a sexual attraction to someone of the same sex isn't going to lead to an activity that is going to be fully committed, conjugal, and procreative. In other words, two people of the same sex aren't going to have a baby. Yup, we get it. That's just simple biology. But the idea of romance, how you feel, who you are attracted to, these are deeper questions, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and that it points to the mystery that is around the homosexual community, the gay culture. You know, I don't think anyone necessarily wakes up and says, I want to be gay, especially in this day and age. You heard it. My guest, quote unquote, codenamed Jay, he struggled to the point of tears, to the point of great confusion and a lot of anxiety. You can see that being gay isn't just simply a decision that you have to assent to, agree to, but it also has to do with kind of who you are. And I didn't say that God made gay people. I didn't say that, but I do know that we are born into this world with a certain level of brokenness. And if homosexuality is a form of brokenness, well, what are we supposed to do? Which is kind of the whole point of this show. I know that I'm probably going to receive a lot of critical emails, because I just generally do, because I'm doing things a little differently and trying to build bridges to people on the outside fringes of the Catholic Church. But the idea of being able to reach out to somebody who has a romantic feeling for someone of the same sex, that doesn't preclude me from being able to develop a friendship, or at least a collegial and polite, and more importantly, a pastoral relationship with someone like a Jay, with someone like him. All the more should I reach out to him and let him know that the church doesn't hate you, that the church not only welcomes you and loves you, but the church also wants you to know Christ's love above all things. I don't know if you heard the question that I asked was, you know, if he was going to be willing to accept fully the church's teaching and to try to live a disciplined life of celibacy as opposed to engaging in sexual acts, which the church calls a sinful act. Any sexual act outside of marriage is considered a sinful act. So I asked him if he would be, you know, if he's reached to the point where he's just fully gay and he's going to try to, quote unquote, get married and, you know, try to adopt kids and try to imitate a heterosexual marriage, or if he's going to develop the discipline of a more celibate and disciplined life, you know, being able to love people in a non-sexual way and being available to love all people and not just the exclusive one people. And that, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about sleeping around, so get your mind out of that you-know-what gutter. But the idea that a celibate is now more available to love as many people as possible because their energies are not solely directed to that one person in that committed relationship. And he said, I don't know, which basically tells me he is in the middle of a process and he hasn't given up. And that's, you know, what I say took a lot of courage for my guest, codenamed Jay, to come on air with me. For him to just be able to say he is still in the process of not only learning about himself, but certainly learning about his faith, learning about Jesus Christ, and learning also about his companion, his friend. He has one, you know, he's in a relationship right now with another man. And I know that's going to turn a lot of people off. In fact, there was an event recently where I was presenting and I sat at this, you know, at the head table and they had these major donors sitting next to me and I was telling them about some of the guests on my podcast because they were interested in the podcast and I mentioned this particular episode. And one guy, you know, got really upset with me and said, why would you even talk to him? Why would you even talk to him? And I just had to get very priestly and Jesus-y on him and say to him, well, why wouldn't I talk to him? I mean, just because we have differences of opinion and different belief system and different lifestyle doesn't mean that I, as a priest, cannot reach out and try to make a connection with people who have these differences of opinion and lifestyle. I mean, if all we're going to do is just simply kind of pretend that they don't exist and to pretend that God doesn't love them and then try and not treat them with respect, well, then you can see where the world is going to go. And so it takes a first step to try to reach out to somebody who is different. And so, I mean, I actually learned a lot of things from Codename Jay. I learned a lot of things from this young man, and I want to have him back on my show because I want to talk about other things, especially politics as a Catholic gay young man. I want to talk to him about how he prays about this same-sex attraction. What does he say about it? Does he think it's a gift or does he think it's a curse or is it just a thing? Who knows? You know, I want to kind of hear about the dynamics that he has with family and also friends who might not accept his gay lifestyle. And how does he maneuver through all of that? You see, one interview isn't going to solve the problem. It's going to more importantly expose the conversation topics to help solve the problems. And that's basically my carryout order. This was a scratch the surface intro, perhaps for many of my listeners, to learn a little bit more about the gay brother and sister and the gay classmate, the gay engineer, the lesbian parishioner, the priest who, you know, identifies with same-sex attraction because it's there. And more importantly, identify with you. Yourself, what is your brokenness? And does that define you first? Because a guy like Jay told me that the most important identity that he had was in relationship to the church that Christ taught. And that's pretty inspiring. So to my guest, thank you for inspiring me. And thank you all for listening. And I hope that this carryout order gives you something to think about. Please don't think I've got answers for everything. But for our premium subscribers, I'm going to do a little bit more of a teaching on how to approach this topic, especially with your children, and how to make the best decisions that are not just going to be biological, but also theological, not according to the body or sociology, according to basically the world and the populations of the people. But more importantly, let's talk about the logos, the logic, or the word of theology. And that's what our learning from leftovers are going to be with our deeper dish discussion. Thank you to all of our premium subscribers and to all of you who are listening. I hope you enjoyed this show. And between now and the next time, we shoot the shiitake. Stay hungry. This episode is brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, where they have compassion for the pilgrim and a passion for pilgrimages. And join me on one of my future trips in 2019. We're going to amazing places, so sign up quick by getting in touch with Select International Tours at 800-842-4842 or SelectInternationalTours.com or visit me at FatherLeoFeeds.com/travel.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at WoodhillCommunityCenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.